This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Gior. Today I'm speaking with David Osterberry. David, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
David, how are you involved with digital asset management?
Well, I guess it started about the turn of the century. And at that time, I was working in the video area. I got involved with a group of people who were actually setting up a digital asset management system. Mm-hmm. So I got involved with it very much hands-on. Back then, digital asset management was fairly new in the video field. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of it around for photography, for image libraries, mm-hmm. but nothing specifically for video. Mm-hmm. Now, the project we were working on was a service that would encode and host people's video and would be able to serve it over the internet. Mm-hmm. And I guess today that would be called a cloud. Mm-hmm. I think we got into it far too early, though, because back then everybody was using dial-up modems, and although broadband was around, it was hardly ubiquitous. And the idea of delivering video over the internet, although you could do it, the reality was that very few people had broadband connections, so they weren't really able to use it. So I guess we were too early. Out of that project, I learned a lot about digital asset management.
David, you wrote a definitive book called Digital Asset Management in 2006. Do you see DAM changing or evolving?
Well, I actually wrote it originally in 2004 because it's mm-hmm. it's had two editions, and the first edition was 2004, and I guess I did the research in 2003. Mm-hmm. And I think it has changed a lot over the years. The initial products that I looked at when we were setting up a digital asset management system, on the whole, were not really products in, let me qualify that a bit. Sure. They were projects that one particular customer mm-hmm. had a requirement for a digital asset management system, and a software company had written a custom system for them. And very few of the products had sold to more than a handful of customers. So they were not really saleable products, more a custom project. And along with that went a very large price tag. And I think that was the big barrier to the sale of digital asset management to a lot of potential customers. The early systems ran on things like Sun hardware platforms. They used Oracle Enterprise databases. And the entry level was somewhere in the region of $1 million for a system. And you would probably need to spend about $5 million to get a fully working system. And that was completely out of the reach of most of the customers. Even the large broadcasters bought at those sort of sums of money. What's happened since then? Well, some of those companies have gone out of business. I seem to remember one of the early ones was the Informix Media 360, mm-hmm. Which probably pioneered a lot of the ideas around digital asset management. And that Informix has sort of disappeared now. I think it's been subsumed into IBM. Some of the systems were just too complex. And at the end of the day, they've got to sit on everybody's desktop and be easy to use. And a lot of those early systems just weren't. So I think what's happened since 2004, when the first edition of the book came out, is that people have got real about what customers are really, really want from a digital asset management and what they're prepared to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And especially on the point of what they're prepared to pay for it, it was always a problem proving an ROI for the big systems. And I think a lot of the customers looked at it from the point of view of the per seat cost, that they know what it costs to put Microsoft Office on a desktop, that sort of thing. They know what it costs to put video editing software. And the early DAM systems cost about $1,000 a seat. And I don't think most of the customers felt that that was value. Because to a lot of people, it was just a fancy version of a file search. And, well, from Google, you know, you get that for nothing. So until the seat cost came down to something more realistic, it was very difficult to prove a return on investment for a dam system. Google represents just the search side, and there's
Sure.
obviously more to dam. There's all the indexing and the management of hierarchical storage systems. But I think that what has evolved is that a lot of the customers, what they're really wanting is management of the entire workflow from ingest of a digital asset right through to its publishing. And although the early digital asset management systems handled the management of that asset, there's a lot more to dealing with assets beyond digital asset management. And I think that some of the newer systems now include a lot more workflow management, and they can also handle external media, like, I mean, videotapes, for example. So you have a crossover between managing media assets, which to me are physical assets like videotape, and digital assets. The thing which really makes it much easier to prove an ROI for a vendor is to introduce management of workflow processes as well. Digital asset management has become a component within the management of the entire workflow.
And David, what advice would you like to give to dam professionals and people aspiring to become dam professionals?
Well, it's first of all, dam is a rather vague term, and it means different things to different people. To a photo library, it's dealing with IPTC metadata, and it's managing maybe a website to sell the digital assets. To somebody, say in the broadcast or the media and entertainment space, it's a lot more complex in that they may be wanting to handle the many thousands or even millions of digital assets that go into creating something like a movie. So there's that front end side. Once the saleable asset, that the movie or the television program or the TV commercial is finished, there's then the managing of that finished asset and its distribution. So that there's very many facets to digital asset management. And for the dam professional, they first of all, they've got to decide which do they want to be involved in the entire business, or do they want to focus on a particular area like video production, movie production, or image library management. I think somebody coming to it afresh, we'll see that there's a very large number of different standards bodies involved, and they're all vying for users to adopt their tagging systems, their standards. I mean, there's the IPTC, which I mentioned, which is very strong in the newspaper industry, and has come to be found to be very useful for across the entire photographic profession. But the IPTC is focused at the moment on still images. I know they're looking at extending it to other areas, but if you look at audiovisual assets, there are a number of organizations looking at digital asset management and metadata schemas for video audiovisual systems, and that can be a lot rather confusing for somebody coming into it from afresh, because there's just so many standards. The SMPTE is very strong in this area, but then there's other things like MPEG-7. There's 10 to 20 international standards groups sort of developing standards that can be used within digital asset management. So that this sort of clouds the whole issue and removes some of the potential clarity within the area.
True. So the adopting what's needed of all those standards, rather than necessarily, would you say, instead of reinventing the wheel, pick what best fits the need of the organization that they're working with? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, very much so. I think one needs to have a pragmatic approach towards choosing how you run a digital asset management system. you could kind of over tag your content. And there is quite a cost involved in tagging content. And you have to balance that against the business need, the business value. And I think that one of the areas that's very important to focus on is how one gathers metadata when one's ingesting digital assets. And in principle, that should be done as automatically as possible. Now, that is getting a lot easier with, for example, video and still cameras can have GPS systems built in so that you immediately get assets tagged with the geographical location.
Geotagging, as they might call it.
So things are getting, it's getting easier and easier, but one of the big problems with digital asset management is that an asset will pass through several organizations and during its lifetime, and the organizations downstream are the ones who benefit from digital asset management if it's well tagged, because they can then find things and makes it easier to monetize it. As the person upstream who is actually adding all the metadata doesn't see the value from it. So it's that's always been a bit of an enigma with digital asset management. Those who do the work don't necessarily benefit.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Thanks, David.
Right, you're welcome.
For more on digital asset management, log on to anotherdamblog.com. Thanks again.